Let's start in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Unique verse, I like it. Paul said, "Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." He had said some things to them that he said, if you'll practice those things, the God of peace will be with you. Now, the God of peace is with you to do something for you. It says, if God be for us, and he is for you, and he wants you well and healthy, he wants you whole and mentally sound. We looked at the Gadarene demoniac. Jesus restored him, it says, to his right mind. We know 2 Timothy, God's not given us spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind or a disciplined mind. In other words, your mind works for you. It's in agreement with your spirit. It's not against you. Well, it says the God of peace will be with you. So he had said some things to them that he knew if they practiced those things, that peace would be theirs. And he said earlier in this chapter, peace beyond understanding, or one translation says peace beyond comprehension. You know, when a child learns to read, you want them to know more than the words. To read the words but not understand what was said is not what your goal is. You want them to read and to comprehend or to understand what's being said. And they test children for comprehension. Not how much did you read, but how much of what you read can you repeat? Do you understand? Do you know? And so there's a peace beyond comprehension, a peace that's not understandable on a mental level. It's a peace that comes from God. Ephesians says Jesus is our peace. He is our peace. And when he left here, he promised us peace. He said it'll be a peace not as the world gives. Well, worldly pieces depend upon the report card said A, and you have plenty of money in your checkbook, and you feel fine, and you've got some important things coming up that you're enthused about, and so you have great peace. That's worldly peace. But God's peace comes in spite of circumstances. If the report card says F and you've got nothing on your agenda that's exciting to you and the job is not going well and the children are misbehaved and maybe your marriage is not as good, as sound as it should be, and yet you can have perfect peace or peace beyond comprehension. Now, that's in the spirit. It may not be mental, but it's in the spirit, and it invades your mind from your spirit. I know in recent days I'm going to pray about something that I think would be a real point of stress. I'm concerned. And yet when I went to pray and checked my spirit's totally at peace about it. The scripture says peace rules or peace umpires. Well, if I let peace rule, I don't even pray about it. Because in the spirit they have perfect peace. Now, when I thought about it and thought about she said and he said, and I thought, my, we better pray. This could be awful. We better pray. And yet when I checked my heart, there was nothing there. It's kind of like the heart monitor when a man has died. There was in the spirit kind of a, kind of a straight line. No ups, no downs, nothing happening. And so if peace reigns, if peace rules, I turn loose of that. So there's a difference in what you have in your heart and what you have in your mind. What you have in your mind depends upon what you see. But what you have in your heart depends upon what you know about God. Now, you remember it says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are some things that are contrary to the word of God, and we're going to cast those down or demolish those or get rid of those. We're going to replace a bad thought with a good thought. If I meditate constantly on what could go wrong, that's what people do when they're facing surgery. Instead of thinking about the doctors could work efficiently and effectively and I could recover very rapidly, they think about all the things that could go wrong and the months of recovery, the hospitalization, the invasion of your privacy, which bothers a lot of people to the point of shattering their confidence. And they meditate and they think about the wrong things. Instead of thinking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and medical science is on God's side, they're trying to get me well and whole and healthy, and everything they do for me, everything they do for me is going to work well for me. And anything that doesn't work well, that wouldn't profit my life, I'm going to know and they're going to know, and we're going to eliminate that form of medical treatment. Well, you can think about the wrong things. You can think about your children. You have a child who is maybe not alert mentally when he's young or doesn't talk as quickly. It's amazing. Mothers get shattered quickly. A child doesn't have teeth by 6 months. They're all uptight, strung out, and concerned. You know, it doesn't take too much before we're thinking about the wrong thing. Well, there aren't too many records of children who go through life without teeth. See, so what you're thinking about and meditating on is an imagination not based on facts or perception. And there's very little difference in faith and imagination. The definition is the same. It's an expectation or hope that's not based on sensory perception. The difference is where I get my information from. If I'm standing in faith, my expectation comes from God and the Word of the living God. If I have an imagination that's harming me, it's based on harmful thoughts. It's based on harmful meditations. It's based on majoring on the bad. The Message Bible is so unique. Do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, authentic, compelling, and gracious. Think on the best, not the worst. That's plain, isn't it? Think on the best, not the worst. Think on the beautiful and not the ugly. That's what you do when your hair's not just right. You think about it all the time. And everybody you see, I know my hair didn't do just right today. Because you've meditated on it, you've thought about it, you've pondered it, you've magnified it until this is a disastrous day because I have a hair out of place. See, I've got to think about the good. Now, Paul said some things. He said, if you'll do those things, the God of peace will be with you. And one of the things he said in the verse just preceding the one we read is to train and control and fill your mind with good thoughts. God thoughts, I'd like to say. And that's in verse 8. He said, whatsoever things are true. Well, Jesus said the Word is true. This verse is a perfect description of the Word of the living God. Nothing else is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report except the Word of the living God. Nothing meets all those criteria except God's Word. Now, he says, if there's going to be any virtue, the translators use the word excellence. If anything's going to be excellent. I like that. If anything's going to be excellent. If anything's going to be excellent. If anything's going to be worthy of praise, you've got to think, you've got to meditate on the truth, on the honorable, on the just. In other words, as the Message Bible said, you've got to think about the good, not the bad. You've got to think about the best and not the ugly, the beautiful. You've got to choose. You've got to choose. You've got to choose. Now, the minute I have a thought that's not going to edify, that's not going to strengthen me, that's not going to help me, I'm going to lay that thought aside and replace that thought with the Word of the living God. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to ponder that. I'm not going to think about that because God said. And if I don't know what God said, I'm going to find somebody who does know what God said. And I'm just going to call and say, I need a verse of Scripture today. And let them help me find a verse of Scripture. But I've got to replace the thoughts of the devil, the imaginations, based on his concept, his desire. See, he has a desire to kill, steal, and destroy, and he fills our thoughts with kill, steal, and destroy. So you'll never survive. You'll never make it. You're very frail. Your situation is grave. Your children will end up in jail. I called one lady one day, dear friend for many years. She's a Christian. Her husband was not a Christian at that time. He's since come to know the Lord. I said, so what are you doing today? She said, oh, my husband says that our boy will go to jail. And I said, no, he's going to serve God. And he said, no, he'll end up in drugs and in jail. And I said, no, he's going to walk with the Lord. She said, I think I got him out confessed. Now, you can meditate when you have a child that's going astray and one that you can't control and one that doesn't obey. You can meditate on all the disaster they'd get into and all the dilemma. And you can say they're going to ruin their life. Oh, they're going to ruin their life. What will we ever do? And one lady told me how embarrassed she was. It was very personal to her that her children had embarrassed her and disgraced her name. She said, they've disgraced my name. My children, they've disgraced my name. And it caused her to tremble. It caused her to fail. It caused her to walk in fear. No, we don't think about the bad. We'll think about the Word. We're not going to think about the wrong. We're going to think about the right. We're not going to think about the ugly. We're going to think about the good. Now, what I think about and ponder is what I'm going to say. If I can't say the right thing, I've not been thinking about the right things because your thoughts are going to be projected through your words. You can talk to somebody, and we're talking about the latest color on the market. Neon colors are in this year, chartreuse and yellow and orange. And we're talking about colors. And right in the middle of our conversation about, are you going to get anything bright orange this year? That's the rage. You'll say, oh, Mary's in such poor condition. Well, we weren't even talking about Mary. I said, pardon me? So I was just thinking about what poor condition Mary's in. See, what you have in your heart, you'll say. And what you say will come to pass. says, whosoever shall speak to the mountain, Mark 11:23, command the mountain to move, the mountain will move. But sometimes instead of command the mountain to move, I'm planting foothills and creating a chain. Now, the interesting thing about the first verse we read, Paul had instructed them. He said, you've learned and you've received, now do this. He said, you've seen this in me. In other words, what he told them to do, he's done personally. He's not telling them to do something he hadn't done. You remember the old saying? Don't do as I do, just do as I say. Paul said, I'm saying this to you, I'm teaching you this, I'm telling you what to do, and you've seen this in me, I've done this myself. In other words, Paul had occasions where he had to choose to think on the right and not the wrong, to think on the good and not the bad, to think on life and not death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, but what your tongue says comes from your heart, comes from the thoughts and the meditations that you've allowed your heart to dream about. So if I think on truth, I speak truth. If I think on the pure, I speak with great purity. Now, Proverbs says, verse 32, chapter 10, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous, those right with God, know what is acceptable, or know what is pleasing, and they know what is good. One says they know what ministers grace, distributes grace. You know, you can know what is acceptable, what you should say, and not say it. Has that ever happened to you? You know, I found out why that is. I know exactly why that is. It's because you haven't meditated night and day in the Word of the living God. Now, you can know Jesus as healer without meditating in that fact. You can know by Jesus' stripes you are healed without meditating. The knowledge you have has to be meditated on, has to be pondered, has to be constantly reviewed in your heart and placed in your mind for your mind to think about. Your heart and your mind working together. Your heart being the dominant force, your heart being the force, your spirit that informs your mind. But because I know he is healer doesn't mean I've meditated in it to be set free. What I meditate in, I speak, and what I speak, I'm set free by. Now, people, I know part of the problem is we haven't known the difference. If they know Jesus is healer and they know he sent his word to heal them, and they know by Jesus' stripes they're healed, they think then they're safe and secure, but you're not. It's not what you know that sets you free. It is not what you know that sets you free. You can know the facts about salvation and go to hell. What you know is only the beginning. Now it says you're going to speak acceptably. In other words, you're going to speak of the good. You're going to be delivered and set free by the good. Look at verse 11, same chapter. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The righteous man speaks of life and not death. The mouth of the righteous is a well spring of life, or one translation says a life-giving force. I'm going to speak of life. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to speak of what Jesus has done. I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb by saying, this is what Jesus did. He did this for me. But many times, though we know what to say, we find ourselves, so I just don't want to say it. I just want to say I hurt and I'm in pain. We don't have any. Nobody's ever given us any. Don't know what we'll ever do. And we've had this for years and years. And you know, my mama had this. My grandmama had this. I remember years ago going to the eye doctor. I just went to the same one all my family went to. He knew, the eye doctor knew I was coming, but didn't know me personally. Didn't know my name. Looked into my eyes and said, you must be Hudson's daughter. I can tell by looking in your eyes. And for weeks, and I'd like to say it was a few weeks, but it was into months and months, the devil hung that over my head. Every time I'd have a little pain, he'd say, you must be Hudson's daughter. And every dilemma my family had ever had, he brought up before me and said, you must be Hudson's daughter. In other words, what's happened to him and what's happened to your family, it's a chain reaction. You have their same genetics, and it'll happen to you as well. And he used that. Why? He's going to control my meditations. He controlled my meditations and get me to say, you know, I have allergies like my father. My eyes are dry like my father's. I don't see well like my father. I'm affected like my father. If he can get me to meditate that and think about that and ponder that and then to say that, then it comes to pass. Whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth begins to come to pass. You can believe the word of the living God, think about the word of the living God and bring good things to pass. You can think about the bad and bring bad things to pass. It's easy to think about the bad because everybody's doing it. And they'll say, how do you feel? They want you to say awful. They don't want you to say, I feel great today, or I'm going to make it, or the word's working mightily. They want to know the details, and they want to know what your doctors say. Well, how long do you say you'd recover? Well, does he think you'll get completely well, or does he think you'll have remnants of this all your life? They want to know the details. They want to know the bad. They want to know the ugly. They don't want you to say, I feel fine. I believe the word of God's working mightily in me. The majority of people. But see, we're different. We're peculiar people because we speak the word. And we have an expectation. See, faith is expectation. I expect the word to work. It's working mightily. The word is working mightily. It's working mightily. The word is working. It's not working if you're not saying it. And you can't say it if you don't think it. And you can't think it if you're not meditating it and reading it. Now, there's a difference in knowledge and meditation, a very important difference. It says your mouth is going to speak wisdom. Your mouth is going to speak what's acceptable. Your mouth is going to speak of life. But if you don't meditate in life, you can't speak life. I know myself, when we came back from Russia, I was instantly troubled by whatever's blooming. One year I coughed 8 weeks, night and day. That's the truth. That's the first thing the devil reminded me of. Said, you know, these things bloom a long time. He wanted me to be sure I knew. Well, I wanted to say, no, devil, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. But you know, I'd been teaching 20 hours and been on planes for 40 hours, and I was tired. I couldn't get my mouth to say what's acceptable. I knew what to do, but I didn't do it. Well, then it takes root, see. Begins to grow. Begins to flourish. And for over a week, I'm telling you, for over a week, I thought, now say it, Becky, say it! And I'd say it, but my heart wasn't in it. I really wanted to say, this makes me so mad. I'm so tired of coughing and choking. Your throat's either too dry and you cough, or the drainage is severe and you cough. And this may go on and on and on and on, and I'll probably cough till next allergy season. That's what I wanted to say. It's exactly what I was thinking. Now I've got to change my thinking. If I continue to think that way, I'll continue to speak that way. I'll continue to cause this thing to grow and be magnified. And then the devil always says, you must be Bud Hudson's daughter. I can tell by looking in your eyes. Oh, it took me a week. I couldn't figure out. Say it, Becky, say it. You know what to say. You know what's right. You know what's acceptable. You know what Jesus did. You know what the blood has secured. Say it. But in my heart, in my belly, I didn't want to say it. I want to say, I hate this. This is awful. I wanted to murmur and complain. Well, I did the wise thing. I didn't say much at all. If you can't say the right thing, keep your mouth shut. It's good advice. But I went back to the first Psalm. See, knowledge and meditation are two separate things. Because you know he's healer doesn't mean he'll heal you. Because you know he's savior doesn't mean you can be saved. Meditation is when I take what I know and I think about it night and day. Meditate night and day. And you don't have to meditate on everything you know. And you don't have to know everything. You have a thought from heaven. You know the Holy Ghost provides the thought that'll put you over, the scripture, the verse that you need, or the book or the tape that'll help you. He provides that. He places something in your heart. Now think about that. And what I do is I pace and I say, oh, I'm so glad that he sent his word and healed me. Oh, I'm so glad the word came. Jesus is the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that word has healed me. That word has healed me. He sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and healed me. Now, I knew that. I've known that for years. It wasn't new knowledge. It was now knowledge that I'm going to ponder. I'm going to think about. It says, fix your thought on things above. Colossians 3. I'm fixing my thoughts. I'm dwelling on the good. I'm dwelling on what God has done. I'm meditating in. And if I could get this in your heart, if I could open up your head and pour this in, knowledge is not meditation, and meditation is not knowledge. And sometimes because we know the facts, we think we're free. But the facts that you know have to be embraced with your mouth. You have to speak and speak and speak until your heart is full. And all I did was go back, and I particularly like a little book that was printed by Marilyn Hickey. that has categories. It's printed by categories. In other words, she puts all the joy scriptures together and all the healing scriptures together and all the wisdom scriptures together. And I went back to the scripture and I began to read out loud to myself because I'm feeding my heart. I know he's the healer. I know he's Jehovah Rapha. I know I'm healed. I know I'm mentally sound. I know I'm of a right mind. I know that I'm not affected by my heredity because God is my Father. But I've got to put that in my heart. You know, it's like beating a meringue, you know. You take 3 eggs and you only got this little bitty 2 or 3 tablespoons of egg white. But you haven't got a meringue because you got egg white. You put it in a bowl and get out your mixer, but you still haven't got a meringue just because you got egg white in the bowl. You got to beat those things. And the more you beat them, the bigger they get. And that's the way it is with the Word of Living God. The more you beat on it, the more you confess it, the more you say it, the more you feed your heart, the more you meditate in it. I'm not talking about meditating from Genesis to Revelation. I'm talking about a thought, a idea, an idea that comes from heaven, that comes from the Word. Think about the good. Paul said, think about the truth. See, he said, I'm going to tell you what to do. I told you what to do. I've done this myself. He said, now you do what I'm doing. And the God of peace, who? Who? The God of peace. Who is he? One scripture says the God of harmonies. The God of harmonies. The God of harmonies. He'll be with you to put you over. See, this scripture says, don't worry about anything. Philippians 4. Now, when Paul said this, I'm going to tell you to do what I am doing. Must be he had reason to worry, but he had refused worry. The only way to refuse worry is to replace the thought that would cause you to worry with a God thought. You know, like out with the bad air and in with the good, when you have somebody you're trying to save from drowning, drank too much water, got water in the lungs. The other day, my daughter had a litter of puppies. She has lots of puppies, and one was stillborn. Well, she's not satisfied with that because they're $300 a piece, so you just throw $300 in the garbage when you lose one. So she called me to pray, and we did pray. But she takes that dude and she slings him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She's slinging water out of the lungs, trying to get all the air passages clear. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't surrender. She worked for 15 or 20 minutes. And he's alive and well and healthy today. You can't tell him from the other 4 in the litter. Can't tell him. I said, which one is it? She said, I can't remember. But she wouldn't quit, see. She wouldn't settle for the bad. She wouldn't settle for the ugly. She did some things to clear the lungs. We're going to have to do some things to clear your mind up. Now, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, put something in it. When you gird up something, you clothe it. Put something in it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird it up. Put something in it. Paul said, think on things above. He didn't say think on things below. He said think on things above. Well, what's above? As it is in heaven. No pain in heaven. No disease in heaven. No trauma in heaven. Only praise and worship. Think about that. Think about that. Meditate in that. It says night and day, so I'm going to give this some concentrated effort. Night and day is effort. I said last week it's like coughing. You're either coughing or you're thinking about coughing or you're prepared for a cough. Right? If you've ever coughed and you had some trouble with a cough, you have something to do. You have your pockets full. You have Kleenex in this pocket, mint in this pocket. And when you're not coughing, you're thinking about coughing and you're prepared for your next cough. And that's what meditation is. But instead of meditating on the wrong and the bad and the ugly and the ungodly and that which destroys, I think constantly. And once I pace, I just may pace 20, 30 minutes and say, you sent your word and heal me. You don't have to pace. I just like to pace. You sent your word and heal me. You sent your word and heal me. You sent your word and heal me. It's not that I didn't know that. I do know it. But I'm beating it like meringue till it expands and fills the spirit and invades my mind and my body. See, what you meditate in begins to move. Now, you meditate in the bad, it begins to move, doesn't it? The more you think about how awful it is, the more evil affected you are. Isn't that true? And somebody can come along and say, let's go to lunch. You say, no, I'm having a bad day. We don't want to go to lunch. And they'll just insist. And just 45 minutes to an hour over lunch, them talking to you and being cheerful and being encouraging, you come home different. You come home encouraged. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. And all it was, they changed your thinking. Moved your mind from where it was to where it should be. One lady told me they'd lost a child to death. She said, I have a plan. She said, anytime I get up in the morning and think, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? And you go in his room and you look around, you think how awful things are and how much you miss him. And so you're not thinking about heaven's his home and he went to heaven. You're not thinking about the glory and grandeur he enjoys. You're thinking about, oh, oh, oh. She said, well, I have a plan. Well, see, you better have a plan. What's the plan? Because you got to change your thinking. In order to speak the word, you got to meditate in the word. In order to speak life, you got to think about life. In other words, you're going to have to cast down imagination. You have to quit worrying. Now, Paul had a lot he could have worried about. And I like to read the scripture that tells you all that Paul could have worried about. When he told them not to worry and to think about the good, and he said, that's what you've seen me do, I want to know what it was Paul had to worry about that he could have thought about that could have caused him to tremble in fear. Everywhere Paul went, somebody was against him. They cast him out of cities. They caused him to flee. They led him over the wall in a basket. They stoned him. They beat him. They imprisoned him. He had a lot to worry about, a lot to ponder. A lot he could have been concerned about, a lot of ugly things he could have meditated on, concentrated. See, what you meditate on, you think about all the time. What if I die? 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 One thing we do when we see people are going to die is try to get them to think about heaven. You know it takes faith to die. Your fear is going to keep you from dying. I mean, if we're ready to die, we ought to die. We got to relinquish fear and go with faith. Say, God's my Father and heaven's my home. And head on out. So we help them to change their thinking. Help them think about heaven. Tell them, oh, you're going to love this. One man told me, and I repeat him to people who it's obvious they're not going to live. He said he died and they revived him. You know how they do. Medical science revived him. He said, easiest thing I ever did. He said, nothing to it. I love that. I said, no, this would be the easiest thing you ever did. I have it on good authority. It would be nothing to this. See, we've got to change our thinking. We've got to change our thinking. Change our thinking. Change your thinking. What if they fire you? You'd get another job. What if you die? So? Paul said, I'm telling you what to do and I'm doing it myself. Now, I was going to read to you, wasn't I? From 2 Corinthians 11. So I'll read it to you from the message. Just like the way it's written there. And Paul says, I worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I could count, at death's door, time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled thrice. I suffered shipwreck. I've been immersed in the open sea a night and a day, in hard traveling year in and year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by the desert sun, endangered by the sea storm, betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery, hard labor, long lonely nights without sleep and missing a meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather, and that's not the half of it. And then he says, now here I'm going to tell you what to do. Don't worry about anything. Here's a man that could have been worried. Could have been concerned, could have been fretful, could have been struggling, could have been uptight. But he said, no, I'm going to think. I'm telling you, think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And if there's going to be anything excellent, it's because you're thinking on the right things and speaking the right things. He said, that's what I do. Now, I wonder if Paul followed his own advice. Look at Acts chapter 16. Let me show you that he did. God sent him to Philippi, and he promptly gets arrested. Verse 29, the magistrates rode up together against them. That causes mental stress. Many times you think the office is against me, my husband's against me, my mother's against me, my neighbor's against me, my family doesn't understand. Rose up against them, rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, cast them into prison. Now, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Prayed and sang praises. You can tell he's thinking on the good. He's singing praises to his God. Singing praises, and so the prisoners heard, so he's not shy, not quiet. I like Daniel. When Daniel knew that he was in trouble, he opened his windows, faced Jerusalem, and prayed. It's all a matter of what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? See, what you're thinking about is what you're meditating on. What you fix your mind on is what you're thinking about. Knowledge has to be meditated on. It has to be pondered. All I did was go back to the word I knew. It wasn't lack of knowledge. I have knowledge. It was that I had not meditated in and pondered and thought about the knowledge that I had. Once I meditate in what I know and I sing to myself, then what I know begins to expand in my spirit, begins to invade my mind and my body, and then words come out of my mouth, words of life. Is a wellspring of life. My mouth says what is acceptable. If you can't in confidence speak the word of God, you haven't meditated in that word. Because once you meditate in it and think about it, you can speak it. And once you speak it, it comes to pass. Oh, maybe not instantly, sometimes faith and patience inherits the promises, sometimes over a period of time. Now, Paul told them, he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that's exactly what he did. And he said, you've received that from me, I've taught you that, I've done that myself, you've seen that in me, now do it, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that marvelous? He said, just do that. Just do that. And if anything in my heart today that you should know, it's that because you have knowledge doesn't mean you'll be free. It's what you think about, what you meditate in, what you ponder, what you fix your thoughts on, what fills your spirit and your mind. And I sing, he sent his word and heal me. He sent his word and heal me. He sent his word and heal me, and I believe I'm healed. God sent his word and heal me. God sent his word and heal me. God sent his word and heal me. And I believe I'm healed. I'm meditating in that one thought. He sent his word and healed me. I'm meditating on seven scriptural words. I'm not meditating on verses. I'm not meditating on paragraphs. I'm not talking about chapters or books. I'm talking about seven scriptural words. Seven words. He sent his word and healed me. Seven words. And I say it and say it and say it and say it. I'm beating it like that meringue. I'm going to put it on top of a pie. I'm going to brown it a little bit and it's going to be pleasant to the eyes and good to eat. It won't work if you don't meditate in it. It won't work because you know it. It works because you're full of it. Out of the abundance of the heart. How you get it in your heart in abundance? The mouth does speak what's in the heart in abundance. And if you keep saying, no, we don't have any, nobody will help us, and I guess I'm going crazy. That's what you'll have. I'd look crazy in the face and say, I have a sound mind. And sometimes I'm not much of a weeper, but if I was inclined to weep, I've had occasions where that would have been good. I have an island, kitchen island. We have a large kitchen. And I walk around that island, round and round and round and round and round. And round and round. I remember doing it one day when I was under such stress and I just thought all is lost. And I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to make sacrifice of praise. I'm going to say what God said. I couldn't get my mouth open. That's the truth. I must have made, I don't know how many laps around that island. Couldn't get my mouth open. Could not. I'm going to say praise the Lord just any minute now. I know I can say it. I know I can. And I just went round and round and round and round. Well, finally, after numerous laps, I said, well, praise the Lord. I just sat down and cried. Well, you got to do the right thing. Let's finish with the 149th Psalm. Let's read that verse. I went round some more. I'm going to give it another try. You can't quit. Think on things that are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, and of good report. And if anything's going to be excellent in your life, if anything's going to be worthy, if anything's going to be acceptable, it's because you thought about God, you thought about His promises, you meditated in it, you muttered it, you said it over and over and over and over and over again, and it became so full in your heart just exploded and said, I am healed, I am. Hallelujah. Well, here's the part I like about the 149th Psalm. I want to say again, because this is the thought that I want to project. Knowledge has to be meditated in. Because you know the facts does not set you free. It's because you've meditated and filled your heart with what you know. Because you've taken time to speak. Verse 6, 149 Psalm, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. Well, if you can't put them in your mouth, you begin with a sacrifice. You do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that's going to put you over. It's the thing that's going to help you. It's the thing that's going to work for you. I'm thinking I might die, but I'm saying he sent his word and healed me. I'm thinking I might have to have surgery and be a year in recovery. But I'm not going to say that. So put the high praises of God in your mouth. Two-edged sword, which is the word of God in your hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, to bind kings with chains, nobles with fetters. You see, praises and the word of God binds those things which are ugly. Your words are going to bind. Your words are going to command. To execute upon them the judgment written. Now this is the part I like. This honor have all the saints. It's not that this works for pastor. Thank God it works for pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets. But it says, this honor have all the saints. Right thinking is for everybody. Right speaking is for everybody. Right meditating is for everybody. This honor have what? Have who? Is that you? Are you and all? This honor have what? Do you notice it says this honor? Do you notice that word? This what? Honor. See, we approach it. This is such a drudgery. Can't say what I want to say. What I really want to say is, I hurt and I have pain. Nothing ever works out for me, and guess I'll die young. I want to say, I am Hudson's daughter. Look at my eyes. That's what I wanted to say. This honor, it's an honor to speak God's word. It's an honor. He said, this honor, praises and the two-edged sword, which is the word of God. He said, it'll bind kings. See, we have the devil in high places, but he's not king and lord of my life. This is this honor. This honor. It's an honor to say, send his word and heal me. He sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and healed me. I believe I'm well. See, I sing that all the time. It's not a song written by any great author. It came, I borrowed the tune. Not too musical. Put my own words to it. Another day, Wayne was struggling his body, and I heard him down the hall, because he's heard me sing this for years. I heard him down the hall singing, he sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and healed me. What are you meditating in? Thinking about your pain, your doctor's report, your insurance, your banker, your children, your lack. Think about the numbness. Think, shh. Think about the pain in your shoulder. Think, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, you think about something long, you're going to say it. And once you say it, you're building something in your life that you don't want. Let me read you this thinking scripture again. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worry into a prayer. Let God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of wholeness. Everything coming together for good. See, everything does come together for good to those who pray. Will come and settle you down. A sense of wholeness, it says, will come and settle you down. You ever need to be settled down? It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry. Summing it up, I say, you'll do best by filling your mind and meditating on things true, noble, authentic, compelling. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God will work you into his most excellent harmony. Do that. Well, what are you meditating on? Not what do you know. Not what you know. It's not what you know. It's not what I know. Over and over and over again, I watch people lose battles knowing that Jesus died and by his stripes they were healed. But it's not what you know that puts you over. It's what you're full of that puts you over. Yes. Say, it's not what I know that puts me over. It's what I'm full of that puts me over. It's easy to get full. I'll speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'll sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. And I'll be full of the word of the Lord. I'll be full of a promise. And I'll speak that promise. And I'll be free. You know, we quote, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. But you missed the first part of that verse nobody ever quotes. It says, if you continue in the word, you'll know the truth. It says, if you continue, if you continue, if you continue, if you continue, if you continue. So it's not what I know that makes me free. It's what I'm full of. It's not what I know that makes me free. It's what I'm full of. It's not what I know that makes me free. It's what I'm full of. It's not what I know that makes me free. It's what I'm full of. And I can get full. I can stay full by speaking a promise into my heart. Speak the word in. Then out of the abundance of the heart, I speak the word. And freedom comes. Is it what you know that's going to make you free?
No.
Is it what you know?
No.
It's what you're full of. You're not free because you know to eat. Or you know about eating. You're free because you ate. Isn't that right? You're full because you ate. My, this is so important. I don't know that in recent days we've done anything this important, anything I felt as strongly about as this. It's not what you know. I stood by their bed when they knew Jesus was healer, and they knew by his stripes they were healed, and they knew they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But their testimony was idle words not based upon a full heart, and it wouldn't work for them. Say again, it's not what I know.
It's not what I know.
It's what I'm full of.
It's not what I know.
It's not what I know. It's what I'm full of.
It's what I'm full of.
Well, fill up. You can fill up. Not from Genesis to Revelation. 7 words. That's all I need. He sent his word and healed me. Well, find you a promise. You don't like that one, find your own. That's mine, but you can use it if you like it. If you like something else, find it. Fill up. Get full. Get full. Get full. Amen. Amen.